want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to Monday, everyone's favorite day of the week. And so I pray that you are having a great day. Hi, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we are coming off celebrating our annual business meeting last night and the wonderful report that we had to share with the congregation. And so God is still moving, still expressing his favor. And so we are very, very thankful. I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. For any of your outdoor modifications that you may be planning for 2023, whether it's new landscaping, resodding the yard, paver stones, maybe you're looking to install a putting green, and probably a long list of other things that I don't know anything about, the folks that you need to call would be Coastal Image Landscapes. My friend Dan over there and his team do a great, great job. And they've got two divisions. They've got a lawn care division if you need somebody to mow your grass and edge your yard. And then they also have the landscaping division, which is the division that Dan heads up. You can get in touch with them by calling them at 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. And these are people that I met a couple of years ago through a personal project that we were doing at my house. We've since had them do work at the church. They've done amazing things wherever they've gone, and brings peace of mind to my life. That's an area that I don't even worry about anymore. So 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and let them manifest their love for Jesus and the skills that he's given them on your project, and you will be glad that you did. So this coming Saturday, we have our Be a Blessing yard sale event. I have a little bit of a correction to make. I had been announcing that it is going 8 a.m. to noon. It's actually going 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's going to be inside the sanctuary, so you don't have to worry about whether storms come up or anything like that. We have windows, so even if the power goes off, we're still going to be able to go ahead. I'm not anticipating that happening. I'm just telling you this is, we'll even have the air conditioning on or the heat if we need it, but air conditioning more likely than heat. So this is who we are. Merritt Assembly of God is blessed to be a blessing, not just in our church, but to our community, to God, to our family, to our church, to our community, and around the globe, not just spiritually, but relationally, and resources as best we can provide them. And so we are going to be striving to fulfill that mission this coming week with a Be a Blessing yard sale event, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. Put it down on your calendar and come and see if there's anything that you might need in your life. And we're going to be thankful for the organized space that is going to come out of this yard sale event, both at our house and our church. And I don't even know how many families are bringing stuff in. They're bringing it in on March the 22nd, and we're going to go to work and make sure that you have a great time while you are perusing through the treasures that we have collected for you. So Today we are going to go to the book of 2 Chronicles. We are talking about the things that, or what devotion as a believer looks like. And so we're going back to 2 Chronicles, and we're going to kind of tie in a little bit with what we talked about on Friday's broadcast, where Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. And as a result, the hand of the Lord was upon him. I want to set the stage before we get to 2 Chronicles 31. And that may be all we do today is set the stage so that you can understand what took place when Hezekiah came to the throne, and give you some hope for our current society. So in 2 Chronicles 31, verse number 4, it says, "Moreover, he, Hezekiah, commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord." And so that's the verse that we're headed to. But let me tell you about Hezekiah's father. Hezekiah's father had been the king. He became king when he was 20 years old, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. You can read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Here is what the Holy Spirit sums up about Hezekiah's reign, or Ahaz's reign. I'm sorry, Ahaz, Hezekiah's father. "And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord." Now, I will tell you that there were some kings in Israel's history. Hezekiah reigned over Judah. That was the southern kingdom that contained the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. But in Israel, there were kings that were great militarily. There were kings that were also great economically for the people of Israel, but they were horrible for the people of Israel spiritually. And so as believers, we've got to look at things and say, which is more important? So I had a conversation with a person one time, and we see things differently politically. And we were talking about a particular presidential tenure that had happened. And this person was talking about, you know, how it had advanced the country and things like that. And I said, "Well, I'll be honest with you. There is a king in the Bible that king reminds me of, where there can be serious advancements economically. There can be advancements as far as, you know, things that might be good from a national perspective, but they may be horrible for the country as a spiritual perspective." And when I shared that, he said, I can actually see that point. So let me give you a little bit of biblical insight into what Ahaz did to the spiritual climate in Judah. It said he did not do the things that were right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. That was the standard by which kings were measured. How did you do in relation to how David reigned? Ahaz did not measure up. It says, "For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel." That means he did not walk in the ways of God. There was never one king in Israel that was deemed to be a godly king. There were some godly kings in Judah, but there were also some ungodly kings. All of the kings of Israel were ungodly. It says, "For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and have molded images for the Baal." So he was not only an idol worshiper, he was an idol creator. This one here is horrific. It says, "He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire according to the abominations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." Okay. So you see that he didn't measure up to David. He was an idolater. He walked in the way of kings of Israel. And from there, it talks about that he actually was a practicing child sacrifice in his worship. That's not going to lead to a godly reign. It says, and he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places on the hills and under every green tree. So it says in verse number 5, therefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. Now, it says in verse number 6, for Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant men. There are consequences whenever the leadership of a people group leads in an ungodly manner, and it touches not just the national, but it touches the home, and where children become disposable, there are going to be ramifications across that spectrum. And one of the things that happened was that there was a horrific number of lives lost in one single day. And the Bible describes this, that all of those men who were killed were valiant men. And here was the cause of their death. Not because the other army was better. It wasn't because they weren't trained. It wasn't because they weren't courageous. It was because they had forsaken the Lord their God. We cannot afford to do that. You can choose to forsake the Lord. I don't recommend it. There are consequences to that. You and I are constantly reciting that verse, he will never leave me, he will never forsake me. I cling to that, that I'm never going to face a battle that God's not there with me during that battle. But do we hold ourselves to the same standard as faithfulness? If you look down, the people of Israel carried off the captives. They carried off the women, the sons, and the daughters, and the spoil. And a prophet goes out to meet them, and he says, look, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. He said, they had upset God with their unfaithfulness, but you have gone off in a rage against them, and heaven has taken notice. He said, and now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves, but are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? And so what he's saying is to Israel, it wasn't because you were so special. It wasn't even because you were good. You're guilty of the same things they're guilty of. And so he says in verse number 11, now hear me therefore and return the captives whom you have taken captive from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. He said, now gone, God has ceased being angry with them, and now he's focusing his attention on you. So some of the people stood up. If you go on and read through verse number 12 and 13, you will find that there were people that stood up and said, you're not bringing those people in here. You send them back. You send back the goods that you plundered from them. Send all of them back. We do not want to add to our sin that we have committed against God. So Israel's in a bad spot spiritually. Judah's in a bad spot spiritually. And Ahaz goes and forms an alliance with the kings of Assyria because the Edomites had come to attack Judah and the Philistines were attacking Judah. And so he took part in verse number 21 of 2 Chronicles chapter 28. It says, for Ahaz took part of the treasures from the house of the Lord, from the house of the king, and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. If you look to men to be the source of your help, you are going to find that they will not be of much help to you. So verse number 22 says, now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice if when we were facing great problems that we increased our faithfulness instead of increased our unfaithfulness? That would be the recommended course, but Ahaz chose the other. And what he did was when he saw that that there were the gods of Damascus had defeated him, he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. I will tell you this, all assistance is not created equal. Little gods, little g, from Syria are not the same as the one true God, which is the one that we are supposed to be worshiping. So what he did was he gathered the articles of the house of God, shut the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And so that was the spiritual climate. So we've said this is a very strained time in the history of Judah. They are being attacked by multiple people. They are not experiencing victory. They're experiencing huge military losses on top of the fact that of the self-inflicted losses through of child sacrifice. Horrible spiritual climate. So the question is, can God do anything with a messed up spiritual climate to the degree that Judah was facing? And the answer is yes. Ahaz has a son which he did not offer as a sacrifice. He has a son which was not killed in battle, and that son's name is Hezekiah. Ahaz had reigned for 16 years. I tell people, whenever they are disappointed one way or the other with the way elections go, that thank God that we have terms, that we have limitations on how long presidential terms can be. There are House of Representatives terms, there's congressional terms, and those people can be voted out of office every 2 to 6 years, depending upon where their office falls in the constitutional terms. And so change comes pretty frequently across the political spectrum. That wasn't the way it was. 16 years of spiritual devastation in the land of Judah. And on to the scene comes Hezekiah, and he reigns 29 years in Jerusalem. It says, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. This is in 2 Chronicles 29:10. So he said, I'm going to get rid of the idolatry, and I'm going to return to worshiping the Lord my God. He says, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense to him. So the very first thing that he does is he restores the priesthood so that the worship of God could be restored, and that the trajectory, the spiritual trajectory of the nation could be reversed. So you drop down to chapter 30, and Hezekiah starts an international revival. He does something that is off the charts. He not only is inviting the people of Judah to return to the worship of God, but he also sends letters to Ephraim and Manasseh. He sends letters to tribes that are under the king of Israel's authority. And he says, I want you to return. We're going to celebrate the Passover to the Lord, and we want to invite you. We want to invite you. And so he sends messengers all throughout those regions. So in verse number 10 of 2 Chronicles 30, it says, so the runners passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, but they laughed at them and mocked them. Okay? Now, you've got to remember, this is a day and time before cell phones, before the internet. It is before smartphones. It is before television. It is before mass news media of any kind. The only way to get your message from one point to another was to send a messenger. And when the messenger would arrive in these places and say, look, the king of Judah has sent me to invite you back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover when God brought us out by a mighty hand out of bondage in Egypt. And he established us as his chosen people, and he brought us into the promised land. We want to celebrate the fact that the angel of death passed over us. We want to honor that. And it says that the people mocked them. But verse number 11 says this, nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also, the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. Now, I will tell you this. It is during the reign of Hezekiah that Assyria comes in and he conquers the 10 northern tribes and exiles them and banishes them to other places, other regions, and transplants people into the 10 northern tribes. And they said, we're going to need somebody to come and teach us how to worship the God that claims this territory as his own, because we're dying here. The people mocked in mass, not realizing that their destruction was very close at hand. That foreign invasion that destroyed Israel got all the way to Jerusalem before God turned back the tide of the enemy. I don't know about you, but if I have the choice of going with the masses to destruction or humbling myself and returning to worshiping the one true God, I think that is the smarter choice to make. And so there's this revival that takes place. Now, let me take you to 2 Chronicles 31. It says, now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars. From all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all, then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Once they got done worshiping the Lord, they said, you know what? We need to get rid of all of these idols. And with singleness of heart, they went out and did that. And so Hezekiah sets the stage now, and he says, in verse number 4, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of God. We're focused right now on the devotion of the believer. And I can tell you that there came a time in my life where I felt like God said, I need you to devote yourself to ministry full time. And what we did at that point in time was my wife went out and and got trained to do a job, and she's been doing that job since 1995. There's been some adjustments. She doesn't exactly do the same job. She works for, you know, the company she spent most of the last 28 years with. She's probably been with this company 21, 22 years. I don't remember exactly right now. But she went out to provide a source of income that would be able to help us pay the bills so that I could devote myself full time, because the culture at Merit Assembly of God had much more potential with me being devoted to the ministry than it did having me try and bring in enough financial resource. At the time, there wasn't any finances of substance in the church at that point in time. And so it ended up being a great decision. If we want to see our spiritual climate change, then we've got to realize that it is going to take a wholehearted devotion to the Word of God. We can't just be picking and choosing. We can't be at it halftime. We need to be committed. America can still be saved, but it's going to take not just a priesthood, but the whole body of Christ coming together and say, we do not find the spiritual climate where children are disposable, where there is massive loss of life, and there is, you know, huge social negative impact going on. We need to get back to the basics. We need to restore the house of God. We need to restore worship in the house of God. We need people who are devoted to the Word of God so that they can share with us the things that we need to do to keep our house in order. And so I want to encourage you today, be devoted. Be devoted to that place that God has provided for you. Be devoted to your family. Be devoted to ministry, and be devoted to prayer. Amen. We need to be people of prayer. Be devoted to worshiping God. He comes and establishes his throne there. It won't be just when the pastors are devoted. We need the body of Christ devoted to the Lord. We'll touch on this a little bit more tomorrow. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank program. You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Me.